Blog Talk Radio.
Yep. So is the wind. I'ma be at distance. Yeah. Turnbuckle Terminal fans, welcome to the show here on another Sunday afternoon. Sign guy Randy Zellers and QT Volks with you. Want to make sure everyone has a very enjoyable King Day holiday coming up. It's King Weekend. Hope everyone is staying safe. We are awaiting the arrival of our guest. He should be on momentarily.
Yep.
But, lots of wrestling happening, so make sure you check out, see if there is local wrestling and a location near to you. Get out there and support it. It is safe to do so when you have some close by to you. I'm sure all the independent support is much appreciated these days. Randy Zellers, we got a big show coming up just over a month away ourselves. Returning
yep.
to Idaho for Northwest Pro.
Yeah. Sorry, spit down the wrong tube when I tried to speak there. But yeah.
Hopefully you don't
do
that on your opponent in this era, because that'd be a little questionable.
Oh no, I ain't got the Rona, I promise. No, I ain't got the Rona yet and everything else, even though 9 times out of 10 I'm always out of my house all the time, but I wear a mask. And I carry some Lysol with me. I ain't playing.
Now, you say you always wear a mask. Hopefully, you're not actually Darth Carter.
Nah. But you know what, though, about the mask and stuff? You know, motherfuckers be recognizing me with or without a mask on. Ain't that a bitch? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's crazy. And sometimes I be trying to avoid motherfuckers. Maybe if I had some shades on, but still. Motherfuckers still recognize me, so fuck it.
Well, sometimes that happens when you're in the public limelight. Like,
yeah, that's true. But you know what, though? I mean, at night, I don't go out. I don't leave my house. I mean, I have myself a strict limit. Nope, 8 o'clock. If I'm not doing anything by 8, I'm staying in, motherfucker.
That's good policy, and it looks like our guest has joined us. Jared Savage, are you with us?
I am here. Hello.
Oh,
hello.
Shit. What a savage.
Yeah.
Well, if it ain't the great Randy Zellers, the man that I've beaten multiple times, getting to share the airwaves with me, huh? No, I'm just kidding. I love Randy. He's awesome. That's my boy.
Well, Jared, we want to thank you for taking the time to be with us. It is a return trip to the show for you. And one of the things I want to ask you about is something we touched on a moment ago. Working for Northwest Pro in the last several months, you've made a few trips over the border into Idaho to run some shows. I believe these were your first ventures over into Idaho for pro wrestling. What do you think of the shows you've been able to do there in Idaho so far?
So far, I'm enjoying it quite a bit. I mean, I admit, you know, not every show, goes as well as you know, the one before that or the next, whichever. But honestly, I've been having a good time. I've only been back, 6 months, and I've enjoyed every minute of it, honestly. I think the best show probably was our show in July at the Raceway. That was pretty awesome. But, yeah, no, I think they've all been great.
Now, the show you referenced there at the racetrack, if memory serves, you wrestled Adam Reyes there at the racetrack, and that was the show where legendary Larry D made his Northwest Pro debut. It was a big show for the company. It was their first time out of the state of Washington. Like you said, you were making your return. What was going through your mind with so much company history being made that day?
Well, overall, I admit my main focus was have a good match. Don't fuck up, you know, do the best I could, because it had been honestly 2 years at that point since I had wrestled. So I was pretty nervous and I was stressed out about that. But I was really happy because within that 2 years time, I had seen the progress NWP had made as a whole. And that show was proof of that. Because at that point, like you said, we had Larry D on the show. That was awesome. He was a really cool guy. I feel like I learned a lot from him. Probably one of our most stacked cards we've had to date. And definitely, as far as draws go, as far as the crowd is concerned, that's probably one of the biggest audiences we've ever worked in front of, too. So that night, like I said, I was nervous about my own stuff, but I was really happy for the company as a whole, because it was just a proof that we had made the progress that I knew that we could. Because I've been with NWP since the beginning. It was the very beginning, the very first show. I was a part of the very first match of NWP. So I've seen when we had literally barely anyone in the crowd to having, like said, that night, I think by the time the main event rolled around, had almost 2,000 people. That's insane. That was awesome.
It was definitely a very good night for us. Now, upon your return to Northwest Pro, you took on some management. You've been managed by one of the more legendary managers in the Pacific Northwest, Phil Good. How did you come to sign with Phil Good?
Well, you know, once I came back, he was one of the guys that had been picked up by the company while I was away, and just kind of instantly, he was someone I just became cool with. And it just made sense. So I said, all right, let's give it a shot. Plus, I'm in this team with Lumber Zach and with Mikey the Mustache. So he was already, you know, doing the managing for them. But like I said, so it only made sense for me to, you know, work with him. But I love it. He's awesome. I love having him out there. I'm not going to lie. I'm a huge fan of having him carry the Washington State title because I think it's one of the coolest things. Phil's awesome, though. I love that dude.
Now, one of the shows over the summer at Curly's, it featured you and Phil Good, but Phil Good made a beeline and picked up Chicken Bob to co-manage with, Chicken Bob making his Northwest Pro official debut as a manager that particular time. What did you think of the job that Chicken Bob had done?
As far as I'm concerned, you know, I told you on your show, if anybody wants to refer to the YouTube page of yours, like I said to you before, Chicken Bob was taking up my spotlight. He's taking up my time. Did everybody there, you know, they all came there to see me. They didn't come there to see Chicken Bob. So then when he comes out with me and everybody's sitting there going, oh, Chicken Bob, hey, he's the greatest, that pisses me off. And next time I see Chicken Bob, stomp all the little feathers off his body.
Well, Chicken Bob is a tough character. He is not only undefeated in professional wrestling, he is also a former hardcore champion. So you might have a little more work than you anticipate with Chicken Bob.
I see his peg leg. I know what he's been through.
Now, one of the things since returning, and we did reference this on the Sign of the Times as well, is you've come out with some merchandise, and merchandise, especially in this era, has become more important to independent wrestlers perhaps in any other time because of the in frequency of shows and so forth. So it's a way wrestlers can still not only make money, but kind of keep the fan base supporting them and making sure they aren't forgotten. I know you have a great looking T-shirt out there. How is the merchandise going for you, and what kind of led you to decide that it was time to merchandise?
Well, as far as how it's going, you know, it's obviously hit and miss. Not every month do I make as much as I made before. But I've actually sold a lot more shirts than I expected to. What made me decide that I need to do that, honestly, man, I'm going to say it like it is. You know, this is the first time I've had a platform to really talk about anything, you know, since I've been back. But overall, I'm going to say it like it is. I'm just going to shoot. Jared Savage 2 years ago, the Jared Savage before all, you know, before I came back, was a piece of shit. I was not anywhere where I should have been as far as wrestling goes. I was making progress at one point, and then eventually, I don't know if I just stopped caring or what happened, but there was a point where obviously wrestling wasn't my love. It wasn't my life anymore, and I didn't take it serious enough to make any of the right decisions I should have, which honestly, I should have had shirts out a long time ago. So now that I came back, I have a whole different attitude. I wanted to have merchandise. I saw Larry D make a post about how you should have everything on point, like your social media. You should have your merchandise on point. Like, this is the time to have all that shit together. Because the internet, that is, like, the biggest way to promote yourself right now and the easiest way to promote yourself, especially during this pandemic. So, like I said, that's what pushed me to finally decide, hey, I need to get a design done. I need to put some merch up. And I'm glad I finally did it because, like I said, I mean, I've sold more shirts than I thought I would. But overall, like, I guess the point I'm trying to get across, if anybody here is listening to this, you know, that really watched me before or you ever had any opinions of me, like I said, the old Jared Savage was a piece of shit and didn't deserve anything. The new Jared Savage, the one that you see for the last 6 months, the one that you're going to see from here on out, that's going to make a huge difference in the way anybody looks at me. I promise by the end of this year, 2021, this will be the year of the Northwest Zooligan Jared Savage. I've already proved it the last 6 months, and I can prove it this next 12 months. I could help. Give me 12 years. I could probably prove it then too. But like I said, that's what's pushed me in that direction. I got to take things serious. Otherwise, no one else is going to take me serious. And merchandise is a huge part of that.
Absolutely. Merchandise, like I said, probably more important than ever in this era. Now, you mentioned getting inspired by the post of Larry D. For the fans that may not know this, and they most likely do if they've listened to this show, Larry D, in addition to wrestling and training, also is a promoter of wrestling. He has his own promotion in Kentucky. Having gotten inspiration from Larry D and from having wrestled on a show with Larry D, have you ever considered trying to make your way to Kentucky and wrestle for Larry D's company?
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to. Realistically, my goals are to travel. And some of the places I want to wrestle is Kentucky. I want to wrestle in Ohio. I want to wrestle in New Jersey and also Pennsylvania. And the only way I'm going to make that happen is if obviously I go out there and take that opportunity. So definitely there's been thought of trying to talk to Larry about possibly getting booked down there. I admit, like, this is going to be the first year that I've really made the attempt to travel. And I admit I'm pretty nervous about all of it, but I'm not going to wait around. You know, if I wait around, then nothing's ever going to happen. So I'm actually kind of glad you asked that, because that's kind of reigniting that thought process. I do need to talk to him about that.
The company, for those wondering, is Prime Time Wrestling. They are a great company. I have worked there before. There's been a lot of mainstream talent like Bob Evans, Tough Timmy Hughes, Tracy Smothers, Chris Harris, a lot of guys from prominent places that passed through primetime. Have you looked at the landscape of primetime wrestling and maybe picked out a few people that are regulars that you would most like to wrestle there?
I admit I haven't exactly looked into, you know, as far as the talent or anything like that. Like I said, I know about it. I definitely see enough posts from Larry, especially, you know, about it. So I know about the company and all. But like I said, I hadn't did any research yet as far as who works there. But actually, I it's a good thing I need to do. Right now,
I would
though,
suggest you look up the talents of Dustin Vargas. He's going to be a huge star in the industry, I think. Trained by Larry D, regular for primetime. I think you might want to put eyes on to Dustin Vargas.
Okay. Well, I'll keep that in mind. You said if he's trained by Larry as well, I mean, I trust Larry. You know, the work that I did get to do with him was awesome. He's a great guy. I think anyone who has an opportunity to take Larry's seminar, definitely do it. You can learn a lot, especially if you're a big man. You definitely should take that seminar.
I agree with you there, and a lot of his students are very, very good. He's got a lot of great young talent that he's trained personally, so anyone you get in there with is going to be good, but I think Dustin Vargas might be just a notch above everyone else at this point.
Okay.
And we mentioned, of course, going to a couple of places in Idaho, and you've wrestled in multiple places here in Washington. Anyone that is in the wrestling business usually has those one or two venues that they most enjoy going to for shows. Do you personally have a favorite venue?
Yeah, a couple, yeah. One of them for sure would be the Civic Center, where we normally, when everything's not all crazy with COVID and all, normally we run out of the Key Peninsula Civic Center in Vaughan. It's always been one of my favorite venues because I remember even before we ever ran shows there, I used to live in the area, and I would go there, and I'd always, like, envision a wrestling show happening there. So when it finally became reality with NWP, big deal to me. So I love that venue. I know it doesn't go by this name anymore, but SWAX, place that you normally held the SAW/IPW shows. I loved that place. That was always a nice venue as well, especially with the stage. Just the way everything was set up, it just felt awesome. And I think my third favorite venue would probably be the Palomino, which is also out in Spokane.
Well, at this point in time, I am going to pass things over to my co-host, Randy Zellers. I know Randy's got some things he wanted to ask, so Randy, go ahead and take
it.
Well, shoot. All right, man. What's up, Jared? How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm doing all right.
All right, doing all right. Hey, man, hey. All I got to say, breakout of 2020, man, hey. I really would hate to say it, but you got the most breakout, the biggest return in 2020 during the pandemic. And motherfucking down.
Yeah.
Yep.
I can definitely see where you come from with that.
Man, out of the fuck nowhere, you pretty much beat Adam Ray's ass. You pretty much beat that ass. You know what I'm saying? Like the way that you beat that ass, hey, shoot. I don't blame him for not coming back. Hey, you know, you did the organization a favor.
Sometimes you got to do what you got to do, right?
Yeah, shoot. Like, you straight up.
If that means flattening
Adam
Reyes and sending him on his way, then that's what I got to do, right? That's what I did.
Hey, Yeah, that's what savages do, nigga. I mean, homie. That's what savages do, homie.
You know, overall, just to make it clear, I came back with the mentality that I was going to make a statement, and I feel like I made the statement that day. That was a very interesting day overall, especially having to ride ATVs to the ring. That was interesting. But when I got off the ATV and I looked in the camera, I told everybody that I'm back, and I beat Adam Reyes 1-2-3. I proved that I'm back, and that's all I've been doing ever since.
I mean, tell me, did you ride on the ATV or did you actually get to operate one yourself?
No, they didn't let us operate them. That would be a terrible
shit.
Idea, letting a bunch of wrestlers ride ATVs. Ooh.
That would be the tight one. That would be a tight one, all right. That would be a tight one. I was like, nah.
As fun and wild as that would be, terrible idea if they let us just freely ride them around. You know how it is. As far as I'm concerned, we're all a bunch of big kids. So you know what I mean. So.
I would have brought my real shit dead ass. I would have probably brought my boy Loco and D-Mac out there and shit like that, man. Shoot, Loco be operating them ATVs. He be operating some shit. You know what I mean? But back to you though. But out of fucking nowhere. You just walked up and just snatched up the Washington State title. It was that much brutal of an ass whooping that you gave to these motherfuckers, man. I mean, sure, you beat my ass too. I mean, I'll admit that too. Yeah, you beat my ass. Yeah, you did. You got my number. All right, you know, it's all good though. It is all good. It just motivated me to try to get better. That's all. Shoot. All right. I needed that ass whooping, so shoot. You know what I'm saying? You may have some stiff competition, but hey, it's all good though, because
well, for me, it's just
like,
business, you know. I got to do what I got to do to hold that strap, right? So,
I mean, out of nowhere, you took the Washington State title. How are you actually going to be putting prestige back in that title?
I mean, just for anybody listening who might not be clear with what's going on, you know, I did win the Washington State title. That's correct. However, I chose not to accept it. I chose not to accept it because I feel – now, I'm not going to say that every person besides me who's held that belt has dragged it through the dirt, but quite a few have. And I didn't want to I didn't want to just accept that. I didn't want to be recognized as the Washington State champion, NWP's Washington State champion, the guy who, oh, he's got the title that no one cares about. No. See, that night, I pulled out my own belt. I am the LLE Zooligan champion. You never take that away from me. See, I may still be labeled and I still may be known as the Washington State champion. I could put prestige in that belt all you want, whatever. But as far as I'm concerned, I could throw that belt down and do nothing with it. It's meaningless. The Zooligan Championship, that's where I'm really putting the prestige on. And if you've noticed, everybody who's attempted to step up to the plate, they've all struck out. And at the end of it all, I'll beat everybody. What's coming up like February? Who's gonna be the unlucky victim wanting to put their life on the line for a title that means nothing when they go up against me? Whoever it is, I promise you, I will end you just like I will end everybody else in my path this upcoming year. Is it gonna be you, Randy? Are you gonna be the one stepping up to the plate?
Damn! Holy shit. You want that smoke, don't you?
Woo. I just want to be clear that anybody who wants it, they can come get it.
Damn.
I may have been only back 6 months, but like I said, that's 2 years before that where I did nothing. A lot of anger, a lot of hatred had just built up inside me, and I want to unleash it on everybody that I can. So anybody, I don't care who you are, I don't care where you're from, if you want a shot at the NWP Washington State title, you can get that, but you're going to get the LLE Zooligan champion. And I promise, for all the Zooligans, I will rip anybody to shreds who steps in that damn ring with me.
Oh. Zillion Championship. One of these days. I'll be with it.
Like I said, Randy, you know where to find me. We
yep.
work the same place.
Mm-hmm.
We all know the same people.
Mm-hmm.
But enough about that. Enough about that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We could sit here and go back and forth verbally about the title. But, you know, just like I know,
no.
ain't nothing going to get proven until we're in the ring again.
Exactly. But do you have any funny road stories? It can be having to do with wrestling or don't have to happen to do with wrestling and shit like that, because that's not what we're here for. We're just here to get to know our guests that took the time out to do the show with us. So, yeah, go ahead, my man.
I don't know. I really can't think of any off the top of my head, like, funny road stories, because don't get me wrong, there's been plenty of shit that's happened on the road, but I hate saying after a while it just kind of all blends together.
Yeah.
The only stuff that really stands out is, like, the crazy stuff, like the car accident where me, J.D. Mason, Chuck Payne, and Darren Gwynn, we were all coming back from Spokane. I don't remember exactly which show it was. But we were on our way back, and it was really late. Like, when we go do the Spokane shows, we drive straight there, we do the show, we drive straight back. Most times we do not go get a hotel. We don't stop, you know, get rest anywhere. A lot of times we push ourselves, maybe a little too much. And I remember that night, JD fell asleep at the wheel, and I woke up. Because I was, like, in passenger – wait, no, I wasn't in the passenger seat. I was in the back seat with Darren. But, yeah, I remember waking up, seeing that we were going off the road. We were hitting, like, the little reflective markers on the side. And I yelled at JD. And next thing I knew, like, he's grabbing the wheel and trying to get us back on the road. But instead, we went over the median in the middle of the road. And we ended up in the whole other lane. That was pretty crazy. Like I said, maybe not exactly a funny story, but that's the only story that really stands out in my mind as far as wrestling has happened. That's probably worth sharing.
Wow. Well, shoot, man, that was really deep. It really took me to where, if I was there for that one, but damn.
I was saying, you were around at that time.
Yeah,
oh,
I just came. I had just arrived to NWP and stuff, and it was a month after that happened, because that was around December, I want to say.
I think it was later.
December
year,
of, like, 2015 or some shit. Yeah.
I just know every time I go through, every time we go through the area, which is the Maple Valley area, on the way back from Spokane, I always think about that, like, literally every trip. Actually, tell you the truth, it's messed me up enough to where when we do go through that, we usually, like I said, every show, we always come back that night. So pretty much every time we drive through at night, I'm, like, usually awake the whole ride back because of that whole incident.
Yeah.
It really fucked me up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the great turnbuckle turmoil has the one and only Randy Zellers, though. I got to say right now, there's a lot of people that I talk to that I don't like, but there's one person I do like. The side sign guy, I like Randy. Randy's cool. Randy's always been my boy. Even if me and this man have shared the ring against each other multiple times, he's always been a friend. And to tell you the truth, to anybody listening, if it wasn't for Randy, I probably wouldn't have came back last year. Because, during that 2 years of being away, I got in my head. I didn't even think that I'd belong in the business. There was a lot of shit that was just negative in my thought process. And Randy was the one who showed up to my house one day. I was like, yo, why don't you come back? Why don't you come training one day? So I went back on my birthday, and it was a pretty cool birthday present, I guess, because next thing I know, the ball just started rolling, and now here I am. I'm back, back to feeling like I'm actually worth something, feeling better than ever. And like I said, man, you know, if it wasn't for you helping me out do that, I probably would never came back. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. Hey.
And I want everybody, like I said, listening to know, like, because like I said, man, I appreciate that.
Thank
sometimes
you,
it takes
brother.
Friends
Thank
pulling
you
out of dark places, you know.
Yeah, it sure does. And hell, thank man. Hey, you're very welcome. And man, nah, man, thank you. Thank you. And hell, you know what? And by the and at this time and place, let me introduce you to the man that be going all over the place, like to Lakewood, Tacoma, and all over the place, just randomly just being the guy that be throwing out them fruit to pies. Let me introduce to you the one. The only a QT. A take it away, brother.
Well, thank you, Randy. Hello, Mr. Jared.
How's it going?
It's going very well. Mr. Jared, I saw your YouTube video of that match with Aiden Reyes in Idaho, and it's the YouTube video, and it was on July 25th. My first question is, how far did you have to drive to Idaho? Where was your starting point?
So I live in Bremerton. So I want to say, I think about five. Yeah, about 5 to 6 hours to get there.
Oh, okay. All right. Who did you have along as your co-pilot or passenger? Carpool.
So driving the car was the natural disaster. Trying to think, who else did we have in the car that going over there? I'm pretty sure Randy might have rode with us on that. Or no, Randy didn't go to that show. Yeah, I honestly, the only person I really remember being in there was Natural Disaster. But I'm sure we had someone else with us. We had Phil. I know we had Phil for sure, because Phil always rides with us.
Oh,
Phil's
all right.
Awesome.
Now, had you wrestled Aiden Reyes before in Idaho?
Not in Idaho, but I had wrestled him in Spokane before that. I wrestled him probably about 2 years before that, because he was one of my last matches I remember having before I took my hiatus.
Oh, I'm right. Okay. How much of a tip did you tip the four-wheel motorized cart driver who drove you to the ring and who was wearing a blue tank top and baseball cap? How much did you tip him?
I didn't tip him anything because, you know what? He was doing me a service, and I appreciate it. But he was also really happy just to be a part of what we were doing. So I'll never forget, because that guy, he kept making me laugh, because, like, right before we went out there, I got on the back of the ATV, and he was just going on and on. He's like, man, I really love this stuff, boys. You guys are awesome. I love this. And then as soon as I got back on there on the way back, he was like, man, you guys are just doing so great out there. It was the greatest thing I ever saw. So I think that was enough of a tip for him.
In hindsight, if Sign Guy were driving the motorized four-wheeler to take you out to the ring, how much would you have tipped Sign Guy?
You know, I think the tip would have just been letting him walk away, you know, on his own 2 feet. Because Sign Guy knows just as much as everybody else knows that if I wanted to, I could break him in half in an instant. All I'd have to do, tap my fingers, and that's it. Sign Guy would be done. So letting him live, I think, is the biggest tip that he could honestly earn from me.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Jared, at the two minutes and 57 second mark of the match, when you were asking Aiden if he wanted to play, so you want to play, it was in that mode of, if you freeze the video, you can see some tattoos on your right forearm. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what these tattoos are about?
Well, one, which I don't think, I mean, you can probably see it, but it doesn't look as nice on camera. There is my Hatchet Man tattoo, just because I'm an ICP Juggalo kid. I'm a big old whoop whoop clown kid. That's just me saying it and you know, messing around terms. But yeah, I have Hatchet Man, I'm a Juggalo, and also have on the outside of the forearm, I have Zooligan, which Zooligan is it's not just my gimmick. This is who I am. I'm part of something that's very, very big, that's growing every day. Maybe the wrestling world doesn't understand it. Maybe no one understands it. Everybody's probably like, what the hell is a Zooligan? Well, all I'm saying is within the next year or two, I'm sure that no one's ever going to have to ask me that question again, because I think a Zooligan will be a household term that everybody's going to know soon enough.
Is Zooligan a social economic movement?
Economic. The best way to describe it, you know, Zooligan, 100%, you know, I guess to shoot with it, it's a follower of Ala Zulu, AXE. They are a music group. I guess if you really wanted to, you could compare it to the Juggalo world, which, it, you know, we all stem from that. But it's more than that. And to be honest, as far as me doing this gimmick, I mean, this isn't just a gimmick to me, you know. This isn't just, oh, well, I'm just going to choose this because I don't want to do a Juggalo gimmick anymore. It's, these are my friends that I support 100% fully. They're people that I look up to. And honestly, they changed my life quite a bit. And I think that the best way to represent them was by being the Northwest Zooligan and being the Northwest Zooligan to the fullest extent, which is Zooligan, you can look at it however you want. You can look at it as just a music fan. You can look at it as a psychotic, murderous cannibal. However you want to look at it, it's fine. But you'll get your answer of what a Zooligan is every time you see me in that ring tearing someone apart. I think it's a monstrosity.
Okay. Well, it's always good to have a music inspiration. I know that Randy Zellers follows Timmy and the Lords of the Underworld on South Park. I know he does that. Yeah. Okay. Well, Mr. Jared, at the 3 minute and 14 second mark, Aiden announced to the crowd, "All right, I got this." And then he proceeded to do push-ups. Three of them. Were you impressed by his Sylvester Stallone style? That's what I'm asking.
No, not at all. You know,
oh, okay.
I'm sure you saw it, since you watched the match. It looks like the push-ups didn't really help him too much, did they? Because at the end of it all, I still beat him 1, 2, 3. I think I decimated him. I honestly think that, I said to Randy earlier, I came back to with the idea that I was going to prove a point. I had a statement I wanted to make, and I think when you watch that match, you can see clearly what that statement is. I think it's loud and clear.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. Okay. Well, Mr. Jared, you had Aiden down on the mat at the 6 minute and 10 second mark, and then you left your feet and came down with an attempted elbow drop. He rolled over, and your elbow hit the mat at the 6:12 mark. My question is, do you regret not wearing elbow pads on your right elbow, and have you had any elbow injuries throughout your career, elbow injuries?
I actually did regret not wearing elbow pads, well, the elbow pad anyway in that moment. And no, I haven't had any injuries to my elbows yet. But I say yet because I realize it could happen. I mean, I came close, you know. I admit sometimes I don't wear elbow pads at training. And there's been a couple times where I've had close calls there too. So I probably shouldn't let myself go out there and have a match without an elbow pad on because, yeah, I don't want to have that happen.
All right.
That's proof of it too because, like I said, and moved out of the way. I hurt myself. So maybe that's a wake-up call that I really need to wear another elbow pad.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. Okay. Well, Mr. Savage, Aiden went airborne at the 8 minute and 24 second mark of the match off the second turnbuckle. And if you freeze the video at the 8:25 mark, you pause it, Aiden is silhouetted against the bright blue sky, and he is about 6.5 feet above the mat and about 1 foot and 4 inches above your shoulder area and neck. He looks like he is doing the Fosbury flop style high jump. My question is, did you yourself go out for track and field in junior high? And if so, did you do the high jump?
I'm sure you can tell by looking at me that I definitely didn't do any track and field in junior high. The most I've ever done in my life probably is just wrestling. But I have to say, I'm quite impressed by just the breakdown here of everything. You've really taken your time to do some research. And the fact that you were able to tell how high he was in the air and how much higher he was above me, that's pretty crazy. I got to give you a lot of props for that. That's awesome.
Well, we here at Turnbuckle Turmoil specialize in video analysis. Yes.
Well, I'm actually glad to hear that.
I myself have about a 85 correct guesses, about 2 non-guesses, and about 2 draws in my whole time on the Turnbuckle Turmoil show guessing a wrestler's height and weight. The height being within about 3/4 of an inch and the weight being about within 18 pounds. I'm very good at that.
Okay. I'm kind of curious now. I'm waiting to hear what you're thinking my height and weight are.
Well, now I'm drifting into a dangerous area. Yes. I will do more and get back with you just like a politician.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Savage, what did you think of Chicken Bob's new tape job that he got around Christmas? He is ensconced in new white tape. Have you seen Chicken Bob's new white tape on any of the recent Sign of the Times?
No, I don't think I've seen Chicken Bob since probably the last show that we did out in Idaho. So last time I saw him, he was looking as dirty as ever. I think maybe that same show, if I remember right, there's a giant carved out wooden bear statue, and someone put Chicken Bob in his mouth and let him get stuck up there for a while. I think it was through the whole show he sat up there. So I'm not surprised that he needs some new wrappings after that.
Okay. Whoa.
He had
wow,
a good view,
okay,
though, that night, so that's pretty cool.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, Mr. Savage, are there any truths to the rumors out of from my wrestling sources in Shelton, Washington, that you are going to tag team with Darth Carter this fall? Darth Carter.
No. No. To be honest, I don't have any plans on doing any tag team work for a while.
Oh, okay.
My only plans for, especially this year, my goal is to get the NWP championship. And I promise by the end of this year, I will be the Northwest Pro Heavyweight Champion.
If you capture this NWP championship, do you believe this will catapult you into Pro Wrestling Illustrated's top 500? Do you believe you would deserve that ranking, top 500?
I don't think it's going to get me that. I still think I got a while to go, but it'll just be one more reason to add me there eventually.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Savage, I have before me a book called World Wrestling Entertainment Unscripted. And if I could take about 2 minutes to read this passage from a wrestler named Nathan Jones, I think you would really enjoy it. And there is a question at the end that I would like to ask you, and after you hear the story, short story of Nathan Jones. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Now, the headline says, when I was 17 to 18 years old, I was sentenced to 16 years in prison for 8 armed robberies. Okay, that's the headline, and here we go. I was captured in Tasmania, and I spent 7 months in prison there in solitary confinement before they transferred me to the Queensland prison for security reasons. I spent the rest of my time there until I was released. To be exact, I spent 7 years in maximum security prison and 1 year in work release. In work release, you go out for the day and work, and then you have to come back for the night. We were robbing sports tabs, places where people make bets in Australia. I can't say what motivated me to do it. Circumstances, I guess. I was angry at society, and I just lashed out. I was on a path of self-destruction. People hurt themselves in different ways, sometimes directly through taking pills or cutting the wrist or using drugs. Robbery was my way. I knew I was going to get captured. It finally happened when I was in a bank drawing some money out. I think someone recognized me. It wasn't hard because of my size. I'm 6'10". I was always big for my age. I was always about a foot taller than the rest of the kids. And I was always very strong naturally. When I was in prison, they started introducing weights, and we started a powerlifting club. They let me out to compete in competition, and I started winning and breaking records in my weight division and my age division. When I was released from prison, I got invited to the World's Strongest Man competition at the Highland Games in Scotland in 1995. I was looking for something exciting to do, and I enjoyed the athletics of wrestling and getting in there and thrashing about. So I sent a videotape to WWE of me in the World's Strongest Man competition, and they said they were interested. I came to America and trained in UPW for about 4 months, and WWE offered me a development contract. But I had a problem with my visa because of my past, and it took about 12 months to get back into the United States. During that time, I wrestled in Japan. It's a different style there. They like to use more martial arts, more high-flying maneuvers, and they like to get really physical. It was good training for me. So that's the story of Nathan Jones. My question is, if you ever got jailed in a maximum security prison, would you enjoy the setting? That's what I'm getting at.
I don't think I would enjoy being in any form of prison or jail at all. But I definitely could say, though, how he, you know, he's talking about how he used the weights to his advantage. And, you know, that was his thing he did while he was in there. I could only imagine that'd probably be my only thing I could do if I was ever locked up. Because it feels like that's what pretty much everybody that's locked up ends up doing. I mean, a good example of that, I know we're talking about Nathan Jones right now. But another person, bank robbery, all that, who is a wrestler, Nick Gage. He robbed a bank when he was working for CZW. He went to jail. He got pretty ripped while he was in there. That's all he had to do was just work out. That dude got out, comes back to the Indies. It's like the most over guy on the East Coast. So I guess if I was, like I said, if I was in any situation similar, I'd probably, you know, utilize the weights to my advantage as well. And hopefully would have a similar outcome, maybe even like Nick Gage, you know, because that's a hell of a return story.
Yes, I would like to point out to you, Mr. Savage, that Jokhar Tsarnaev, one of the Boston Marathon bombers, is currently being held in the Supermax prison, ADX, in Florence, Colorado. He's locked up like about 23 hours a day in a 9x6 cell, and will be for the rest of his life.
That's, I can't even imagine having to live the rest of my life like that. That's crazy.
Yeah,
but I guess if you do the crime, you do the time, you know?
I hear that. The guy that bombed the World Trade Center in 92, I can't remember his name, but the one where they parked a van in the underground garage and he detonated a van full of explosives. He's in Florence, Colorado, Supermax, just for your information.
Hmm. It sounds like that's the spot where all the – okay.
Well, they also have a Supermax prison in Pelican Bay, which is on the California-Oregon border. And a lot of your Crips and Bloods and your Serrano street gangs are held in there.
Wow. Well, I could only imagine how wild the yard has to be in there. It has to be crazy, too.
Yeah. I've done a lot of research on prison settings. Yes. I just hope I don't do time with Randy Zellers and be his cellmate. That would be terrible.
Oh, Randy, he'd be all right with you. He'd take care of you.
Well, I think Randy would take like a tin cup and rattle the bars and keep you up at night. That's what I'm getting at.
I can see that.
Oh, okay. Well, Mr. Savage, it was good talking with you. And at this moment, I'm going to hand it back over to Sign Guy.
Okay.
Thank you, T. Well, Jared Savage, we have just a few minutes left in the show today, and I want to make sure you have ample time. If there's anything you want to say to any of the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything you got, upcoming events, merchandise, social medias, your favorite hamburger joint, anything in the world, floor is yours.
Okay, well, there's a few things I'll promote here. So first off, if you want any merchandise at all, whether it be a T-shirt or maybe you even want a Letterman jacket, I have all of that. I have both pro wrestling tees and Brainbuster tees. Now, I will say, pro wrestling tees, all you can get is shirts right now. But if you go to Brainbuster Tees, you can get a whole variety of everything. Like I said, hats, backpacks, drawstring bags, coffee mugs, you name it, it's all up on there. So as far as finding me, I am the Northwest Zooligan, Jared Savage. You can either find me at Official Jared Savage or Jared Savage 666. That's my Twitter, and I think that's also my Twitch handle as well. February 27th, Curly's, Post Falls, Idaho. We will be back. Northwest Pro. I don't know who I'm wrestling, but I know that I will be there. My title will be there. NWP will be there. I know I'm going to kick someone's ass. And also, to throw out there too, to anybody who doesn't know, check out Long Live Evil. LLE, that's what that stands for. Long Live Evil. It is a record label. It is consisted of the Ala Zulalu and the brand new signings, the super famous Fun Time guys. But they are more than just a record label, and this is a movement, and I am proof of that movement. And anybody who wants to be a part of that movement, go to longliveevil.com and check them out. And that's really about all I got. I don't really have any shout-outs. XBC all day. Any promoters, though, if you've taken any time to listen to this at all, I'm available, and let it be known now, like I said, the Jared Savage that everybody knew a couple years ago, forget about that. That was not the person I want to be represented as, because honestly, like I said, I was a lazy piece of shit. I didn't care about wrestling much anymore at that point. That's all changed. Now I have my drive back, and I want to prove that I am here to stay. and that I belong in this business. So if anybody wants to give me an opportunity, I promise that I will take the ball and run with it. But that's about all I got to say. So thank you guys for having me on here. I really do appreciate y'all bringing me back. Thank you once again.
Our pleasure to have you. We definitely always enjoy it when you stop by, and I'm sure I will see you at Curly's in February. Chicken Bob most likely will be there as well, so he might be a little perturbed at what you said earlier. And as we close
well,
out, we
sure
want to wish everyone a happy King Day holiday. Randy Zillers, you have anything you need to plug, promote before we wrap up?
Just a good shout out to my cousin, to my big cousin, and my brother. I mean, with them, hey, thank you all for bringing me some balance. That's all I got to say.
All right. Well, fans, definitely get out there, support your local independents if you have some near you running. Jared Savage going to be there at Curly's in February, so get out there, support him and what he's doing. Pick up some of the merchandise. Jared Savage looking to do bigger and better things in 2021, so look for him to do just that. We'll be back with you next week. Next Friday afternoon, we'll have Diafolo the Butcher DeBosch returning, and 1 week from today, it's been a long, long time, but we get the return of Puppy. Puppy will be with us next Sunday, so join us then. Everybody stay safe, and we'll talk to you soon.